Wow, y'all really quiet down quickly, don't you? My name is Andrew Parks. I'm the Director of Political Advocacy for the United Alabama Project. We're the organization that's hosting tonight's debate, and I want to take this opportunity to welcome all of you and thank you for coming. One of our organization's primary missions is to make sure that all of our students have the opportunity to engage with SGA, to meet the candidates, to meet the office holders after they've taken office, and have full access to the political process at all points during their career here at the University of Alabama. And I have to tell you, I am very encouraged on that front, seeing the turnout at tonight's event. So thank you all for coming. I'm going to start by giving an overview of the format for tonight's debate. We're going to begin by giving both of the candidates 3 minutes for an opening statement. The order in which the two candidates give their opening statements will be determined by the flip of a coin. I have that coin right here. The order in which answers are given to the questions which follow will rotate from question to question. When opening statements have concluded, 4 predetermined questions will be posed to both of the candidates. Each candidate will receive 3 minutes to give a response to these questions. If the candidate who answers a given question first wishes to provide a rebuttal to the response given by the candidate who answered second, he may request and will be given 1 minute to do so. Otherwise, we will move on to the next question. When these 4 questions have been posed and answered, the two candidates will be asked a question for individual response. There will be no opportunity for rebuttal from either candidate in this instance. After answering their individual questions, both candidates will be given the opportunity to ask a question of each other, which was prepared in advance of tonight's debate. There will be no opportunity for rebuttal. However, each candidate will, if he sees fit, have the opportunity to ask a single follow-up question after his opponent has answered his initial question, for which the responding candidate will receive 2 minutes to answer. Both candidates have been instructed to prepare questions which are substantive and not to prepare questions which are personal or defamatory in nature. This will make for a total of 6 predetermined questions posed to each candidate, 5 to each of them from the moderator, and 1 from each of them to each other. Neither candidate has been given any preview of the questions that we have prepared for tonight's debate. And on that note, I want to say the only 4 people who have seen these questions prior to tonight's debate are the 4 people on stage right now, up until about 20 minutes ago when we put them on the PowerPoint for tonight. Neither candidate has provided a preview of the questions that they have prepared for each other to each other. At any point in tonight's debate, any member of the audience may submit questions to either candidate or both candidates via Twitter by tweeting at the United Alabama Project's handle, @UnitedAlProj. And on that note, we've posted some signs in a couple of different locations, and it will appear on the PowerPoint later if you forget the handle. After the 6 predetermined questions have been answered, whatever time remains before this debate ends at 8:30 p.m. will be devoted to audience participation, and audience questions will be read at this time. Candidates will be given 2 minutes to answer audience questions and will again have the opportunity to request 1 minute for rebuttal following an answer from the opposing candidate as they see fit. The moderator will have full discretion to ask follow-up questions at any point in the debate. If he should choose to do so, the candidate to whom a follow-up question is posed will receive 2 minutes to respond. When there are 30 seconds left in an answer or rebuttal period, the timekeeper will hold up a sign denoting the time remaining as a warning, and she's displaying that sign right now. When time has expired, she will hold up a sign that says stop to inform the candidate who is speaking. That sign is also held up right now. Both candidates have been permitted to prepare 1 sheet of notes to bring with them to the podium for tonight. And lastly, most importantly, in order to ensure that the debate takes place in a timely manner, we ask that the audience refrain from applause, cheering, jeering, or any other audible activity until after the debate has concluded. We also ask that the audience take this opportunity to silence their cell phones now. So, with the format out of the way, I'm going to go ahead and move into introductions. I'm going to start with our staff. First of all, I'd like to introduce our moderator, Dr. Joseph Smith of the Political Science Department. Want to wave her?
Oh, that's me.
Next, I'm going to introduce our timekeeper, Ashley Stoltz, UAP Director of Public Relations. And I have to admit, it's fitting that we chose the Director of Public Relations because there's no better way to improve PR than to tell candidates to stop talking. And lastly, we have our Twitter monitor, who will be the sole person looking at the Twitter feed for all the audience questions tonight, Jordan Laporta of WVUA-FM News. And I also want to throw a special thank you to him. Jordan was the one who helped me come up with the questions for tonight. And so with the important introductions out of the way, I'd like to introduce our candidates, and if they'll come up as I introduce them, Mr. Stephen D. Keller. Sit there. and Mr. Elliot Spillers. On up. Now, gentlemen, I'm going to warn you, the fact that you're sitting so close to me means that you are within range, within firing range. I have practiced with this quarter. I cannot promise you I'm not going to hit you. I promise you, neither candidate paid me to do it if it does hit you. If they did, they're wasting their money because my aim is terrible. So, that said, but okay, so Mr. Keller, your last name comes first in the alphabet, so you get to pick the side.
Tails.
Tails.
Thumbs up. First question.
Hello. There we go. Okay, the first thing we'll do then is to have opening statements. Each candidate has 3 minutes for opening statement, and we'll start with Elliot Spillers. Go ahead, please.
Well, I hope you all weren't expecting me to come up here and talk about how I plan to overthrow the Greek system or ban block seating and chacos forever. I want to start off by thanking my family, my campaign team, and the United Alabama Project for being here, and Dr. Smith. I want to also extend a thank you to the students here for being engaged with such an essential part of the campaign process. I've shown over the course of my time in SGA and during this campaign that I know how to create meaningful and effective collaborations across all spheres of campus, that's Greek and independent communities alike. My campaign this year is a direct result of the experience I've gained working both within the sphere of SGA and without. Furthermore, my platform is centered on creating tangible changes in the SGA so that we can better work together and ensure that Alabama truly remains the capstone of higher education. My objective is to create a campus culture of energized students, healthy, energized students. Among the initiatives I hope to implement is a peer-to-peer survivor advocacy program for victims of sexual assault, an informative campaign to train leaders around campus to be aware of the signs of mental illness, and working with the Rec Center to create a Rec Center Rewards program that builds a system of incentives for students visiting the Rec Center. You all need an SGA that works with you and for you and not against you. For too long, the SGA executives have neglected the needs of large numbers of students and have become ineffectual. As president, I will work with other students and campus leaders to turn around an SGA that has for too long ignored the vast complexities of our student body. Together, we will move our university forward. So on Tuesday, that is tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., I encourage each and every one of you to go out and spill the vote and elect Spillers as your next SGA president.
Thank you. Okay, and next statement from Stephen Keller.
Hi, my name is Stephen Keller. I'm running to be your student government president, but I want to start off by thanking all of you for coming out, and I want to thank United Alabama Project for putting this on. I'm truly blessed to have been a part of such a heavily watched campaign, such a great election period, probably one of the best we've had in recent history and will have for years to come. And honestly, that's a huge honor, and I think that this room shows that. This room is packed. All of these students are here to take advantage of this opportunity to hear what we have to say, to hear what we plan to do as both of your candidates, how we plan to make the student life better. And so I encourage all of you to vote. Tomorrow, exercise your civil liberty and vote. Whether or not you vote for me, I encourage you to vote. But I want to tell you why you should vote for me. It's a simple 3-point plan. One, I've worked within student government for 3 years. I was a first-year counselor. I was a senator, and I'm currently your sitting vice president for student affairs. I've developed the relationships and the connections within both student government and the administration to make things happen. As any of you would understand as members of your own individual organizations, it's very hard for someone to come in from the outside and run the organization. It's very difficult. There's quirks, there's keys, there's intricacies of organizations that you have to be within them to understand. It's much easier to change things from the inside out than the outside in. Two, the ability to create programs, to take broad ideas and turn them into initiatives is something that takes experience, something that takes years of doing so and the knowledge of how to do it. And I believe that the learning curve that's needed to understand how to do that is not something that we can forfeit during such a pivotal time in our university's history. And third, I'll be the first one to acknowledge, I'm not going to lie, the student government has been very complacent on issues in recent history. We've put touchy, uncomfortable issues off until tomorrow, a metaphorical tomorrow, a tomorrow I don't believe exists. Under the Keller administration, tomorrow begins today. And we've started that this year. On exec, we've done a great job of rebranding SGA. We've taken ourselves out of the FERG. We've gotten rid of the quasi-administrator image that we represent locked up in that office. And we've gone out with Say Hey, and we've approached students outside the FERG, in the quad, outside academic buildings. And we've told you what we're doing for you, but we've also asked what we can do for you. And that was a great start. And I think that if we continue to do things like that, if we continue to get out and engage students, that we can truly fulfill our motto and become students serving students. And for that, I encourage you all to vote tomorrow, and I encourage you all to get on your MyBama and vote for Stephen Keller.
Thank you. First question, Mr. Keller will answer the first question first, and then Mr. Spiller will answer the same question afterward. First question. In the past few weeks, there has been a significant amount of discussion about the SGA budget. The 2014 SGA budget appropriated more than $860,000 to various programs and funds, but many students feel that the SGA does not adequately invest in the student body. There has even been talk of introducing a student fee similar to those collected by most SGAs across the country to provide a new source of revenue for SGA. Do you feel that that introducing such a fee is appropriate, or do you believe that SGA receives enough funding as is, and why?
Well, I think that first you have to address the fact that our budget may be $860,000, but most of that is pre-allocated to initiatives that already exist, like homecoming. And while recently things with the Spirit of Alabama Act have come up and have brought up the idea of introducing a student fee, I think it's first important to establish that within the constitution of the student government, we do not have the ability to charge students as a whole. So I don't think that the issue here is whether or not we should do it. It's intent versus practice. The intent of the recent legislation that's come up is great. I believe the student government should be doing more things like that, but the problem is the practice. We do not have the ability, and I do not believe we should pass legislation within our Senate as an act that we have no actual capability to fulfill, because all that is us lying to you. And I think the student government serves its students, and we should do everything we can for you that is within our power, and not try to overstep the boundaries that are established by the Constitution. If a student activity fee is something that the students are interested in, then the student body president holds a seat on the Board of Trustees. They're the ones that control tuition. They're the ones that can add this fee. So if it's something that you're interested in, it's something that the SGA president can bring to them as a whole, because it's their decision, not ours.
Thank you. Mr. Spiller, do you want me to repeat the question?
Oh, no.
You got it. Okay, go ahead, please.
Thank you for that question, Dr. Smith. In response to it, I will say that introducing a new fee is very important for students to have the correct funds to fund each and every one of their organizations. $800,000 is not enough to fund all the organizations that we have across our student body. We have over 500 to allocate money towards. I was talking to the club sports teams, and they don't have enough money for equipment. Or talking to the college Republicans, they don't have enough money to fund the conferences that they want to attend. So it is important that we do instill this fee on students. I was talking to Patrick Fitzgerald, who was actually over this idea. I think that it's very important that we increase the funds that we have that we can allocate towards students. Yes, we have a seat on the Board of Trustees, but we do not have a vote. That is a huge issue, that we do not have an opinion on the Board of Trustees for these student issues. And it is important that your SGA serve you as students and work with you for your best interests at heart.
Thank you.
Do I have an opportunity for a rebuttal?
You do.
Yes. I think that it's first to establish that $860,000 is not the money that we have to go to student organizations. Most of that money is pre-allocated. About 200,000 of it goes to our Financial Affairs Committee, which is a combination between us and Student Affairs, which can fund student organizations. While this legislation does propose to increase the funding within the FAC, the student government is already working on a proposal to present to the administration to increase our FAC funding. We ran out before the end of the year this year. We've given all of the money we have, but I just want to clear up that that's not $860,000. That's about $200,000, and we're currently working as hard as we can to increase that within the systems and within the avenues that are actually legally allowed by the student government.
Okay. Question two. Mr. Spillers, we'll start with this question. It's no secret that there is a significant amount of apathy among the student body in regards to SGA. In the past six election cycles, voter turnout has averaged approximately 33% and has shown a generally negative trend. Fewer than half of all executive elections have been contested in the same time period. Indeed, if the University of Alabama were its own country, the international organization known as Freedom House, which attempts to determine exactly how democratic all of the countries in the world are, would not rate our SGA as a true democracy based on these criteria. Many believe that students who do not receive a positive experience with the democratic process now will never fully embrace it after graduation. And given that the University of Alabama shapes many of the nation's best and brightest minds, this presents a grave and serious concern. Do you have a plan to better and more uniformly engage the student body with SGA? And if so, how?
I do. You're so correct that our university is comprised of over 30,000 students, each of whom has a different perspective to this university. It is that wealth of perspectives, values, backgrounds, and cultures that makes our university so unique. The main problem with the apathy turnout is that people do not see a need for SGA right now. They do not see legitimacy within it because it is not representative of the entire student body. I've gone across the entire university campaigning this entire week, and it's been pretty tough. I can honestly say that to you all right now, because I asked this question to them. I say, what is your perception of the SGA? And it's crazy whenever I hear crickets. I hear no responses given to that answer, because currently right now, the SGA has not done anything to show that it is working with students and for them, but rather against them. My plan for SGA is to incorporate current students that are in the SGA to find ways in which how we can work with them and for them to implement their solutions. I think that, for example, the Diversity Caucus, that was happened, I think, a few weeks ago. The SODEL is a student organization on campus that does the exact same thing as the Diversity Caucus. SGA has been working against student organizations for too long. As SGA president, I want to create ways in which we can incorporate them within the SGA to create sustainable change and increase transparency.
Go ahead, Mr. Keller.
Thank you very much for the question. I think it's very important. I think that voter turnout and voter apathy starts with candidates. And I think that this year, both myself and Mr. Spillers have worked very, very hard to work very engaged in campaigns. I know that I've seen him, and hopefully he's seen me, carting around and running all around campus with it seems as though there's not enough hours in the day. We're all trying to speak to everyone we possibly can. But I think that engaging students and changing their opinion of SGA comes with concrete ideas for once elected. I think that this year we did a great job starting that out with Say Hey SGA. We went around campus. We spoke to them. But also, I think that once elected, the student government president needs to be an asset to the students. He doesn't need to be seen, and student government doesn't need to be seen as a separate entity that does everything it can and that its only sole goal is to complete its own accomplishments. The student government president should be someone that when a student organization wants their help, they attend their meetings and they act as an asset, as an opportunity to help those students, to help them accomplish their goals, so that his goals are in line with the whole student body's goals and also with those of student government. So we accomplish things on our own, but we also become assets to help organizations pre-existing accomplish their goals. Also, I think it comes with opening up the office. I mean, I know that right now within our office, we have a bullpen in the main room. It's got many desks, plenty of rooms to do work, plenty of rooms to do study, plenty of rooms to come in and sit down. A lot of students don't have a place in the FERG that they feel like they can go. And I think that as student government president, a great thing that I plan to do is open that up. Offer office hours within the student government office for every single executive so that people know when they can come in and when they can speak to their representatives. So when they need that help, they know where to go, when to go, and they know that they're going to get it.
Thank you. Yes.
I find it ironic that he's talking about, Mr. Keller talked about working with students and work, how the SJA needs to work with them and not against them. I believe, if I'm correct, that you've served in SJA as VPSA for this entire year and that your responsibility as Vice President of Student Affairs is to work with the student body and to always keep your door open. And so I find it ironic that his campaign is geared towards opening up the doors of SJA when he's been within it for a year. And I believe that as SJA president, you should continue to continue working with students. And if I can promise you that if, had I been in that situation, I would not be trying to reform my own SJA that I created.
Thank you. The third question, we'll have Mr. Keller give the first answer. Throughout the campaign process, both of you have talked at length about the general themes and major ideas of your platform. It is one thing to speak in generalities, but it is another to deal with specifics. What concrete ideas do each of you have to create substantive change in a realistic way, and how do you plan to make it happen here at this university?
I think that's a great question, and I think it's great for everyone here to know. We actually have not really run a campaign on general ideas or major ideas of platform or themes. We have released every single one of our initiatives on our Facebook page with a link to a PDF that gives you the what, the how, and the when of how we plan to do it. Because this organization, this administration, if elected, understands how to take ideas and turn them into initiatives, and we've shown that. You can see what we plan to do, how we plan to do it, who we need to communicate with, and who we've already started to communicate with the administration, and with that, a promise from us to you of when it's going to happen by. One of the major things that I find is very important for the SJA to step up on is sexual assault. And I've spoken with a lot of women's organizations here on campus to help understand it, and we're taking a two-prong attack. We're going to work with risk reduction as well as awareness. Risk reduction comes from one initiative that we're running on, Light the Night, where we want to work with city council here to develop a system that increases street lighting on Sorority Row, on 12th, on 13th, on Caplewood, around campus and its surrounding areas so that everyone feels safe at home because this university is our home. Also, we want to work with UAPD to increase funding through student affairs through 348 Ride. I mean, we all know the system's very inefficient. You should never feel like you have to juggle between standing there and waiting for 348 Ride to come and pick you up or walking home uncomfortably. 348 Ride should be able to pick you up in an efficient manner, and your walk should never be dark. It should be lit. And then when we're talking about awareness, my goal, hopefully, is to have a part of Bama Bound be to go through a bystander intervention course. Now, while that's a large goal, our specific goal is that we've been working with the current IFC exec team to initiate a program where all students coming in planning to rush or pledge will have to go through a bystander intervention course. And by doing this, we instill within the culture of our students the issue of sexual assault, and we give them the confidence and the ability to intervene and to stop it, so that within a few years, the knowledge and the expertise and the ability to intervene in sexual assault will become ingrained in what it means to be a University of Alabama student.
Thank you. Mr. Spillers.
Yes, in response to that question, I'll begin by saying that while my opponent wants to work with departments and organizations, my initiative for sexual assault is to create a peer-to-peer advocacy program for all students. In this way, we will focus on victims and not just departments. Experience is key with sexual assault because there's the experience that we need to figure out exactly what solutions and plans that your student government association can work on to create plans of action, tangible action points. My peer-to-peer advocacy program will put the hands in the experiences of students who have gone through sexual assault. Furthermore, I will create a program right now geared towards mental illness. Right now I'm working with NAMI, which is the National Association of Mental Illness across campus. They are a current organization that's been here for the last 6 years. And right now, at a pivotal time in our nation when mental illness and wellness is at the heart of these issues, it's important that we bring in current organizations with the expertise needed to figure out how we can better create plans and solutions to generate tangible action points. Right now, we're working with housing. That's Phillips Thomas and Ryan Powell in the Fraternity and Sorority Life, and we're trying to find ways in which we can train up RAs, FAs, leaders, and all of the execs in all the houses to ensure that they know what mental illness looks like on a student. Personally, I've had a friend commit suicide, and it's not something that I want anyone to go through. As a leader, it is our responsibility to train up other leaders to find out how we can better equip them with the resources needed to implement those that help that students need to go to. Furthermore, I plan to partner up with the Recreational Center to create a Rec Rewards program that incentivizes students going to the Recreational Center to gain wellness. It's important over the last 3 years I found that well-being should be the pinpoint, the pivotal pinnacle aspect of my campaign and of my administration. And with that, I want to increase transparency, provide wellness resources to all students, and cultivate sustainable change in our system of government. I find that ironic how Mr. Keller is now talking about working with departments and organizations to find out, to consider well-being a factor for all students when, again, he's been in the office for a year now and has yet to do these issues. I find it very ironic, again, that it's campaign season. And now, yes, I have seen him with me going to different departments and organizations advocating for them, but it's campaign season. You had an entire year to work with these students and organizations to find out ways in which we can change them and better our system of government. But you have yet to do that.
Well, I think it's important to add...
1 minute for rebuttal.
Yeah, I think it's important to add that a peer-to-peer program is a great idea. It's awesome. But I think that everyone would hear that a problem that we have with an SGA is that we're reactionary, where implementing bystander intervention into campus, whether with Bama Bound or solely starting with IFC, is proactive. We're attacking the problem before it happens. We're helping to work to intervene to prevent these things from happening rather than establishing a system for victims. I think that a peer-to-peer program would be great, and the Women's and Gender and Women's Resource Center has a great program for counseling and helping victims, but I think the SGA needs to be proactive on an issue as serious as this one.
Thank you. The next question, Mr. Spiller, will start. In the past few years, there have been a number of concerns presented regarding student safety. Every student on campus has received email notices of incidents ranging from young women escaping attempted kidnappings, to robberies on or near the Strip, to cyber terrorism threats, to examples of gun violence on or near campus. Many students felt unsafe and unsure during and in the days following these occurrences. Most student governments have programs in place to address student safety issues and increase campus security. Ours does not. Do you have a plan to address student safety?
I do. Thank you so much. In regard to student safety, I think it's important that we factor in ways, well, leaders coming into the SGA. Again, I want to start off by saying that SGA right now is a representative of the entire student body. As leaders, it's important that we bring in all students into the fold of the SGA. As president, my plan to create safer ways and a safer environment for all students is to partner up with transportation services as well as UAPD to find ways in which we can better equip students with the tools necessary and the resources needed to gain safety across campus. I spoke earlier today with Mr. Clayton, who is over transportation services, and he had stated that it's important that we as students talk to them, sit down with them actively, and tell them what UAPD and transportation services can do to work with us as students to find better ways to create a safer environment for us to be students here on campus.
Of course. Great question. And I think that this is something we've already addressed with Light the Night. Campus is our home. And like I said, in our research, we focused on where UAP alerts have come over the last 3 years. We focused on the points of campus that are dark. Dark points of campus at night are more susceptible to crime, and that's something that we plan to address. But at the same time, every student should feel safe here, and that is very important. And I think that the student government should work to do that. We should work with UAPD. We should work with anyone on campus, and that all goes through auxiliary services. Auxiliary services is someone that we all know. We've all worked with them. We sit down with them. We talk with them. Everyone on exec now has a personal connection with them. But also, we plan to open a program called UAACS, which is already working under the administration, but that myself and Jordan Forrest and my campaign staff have been working on it for a long time with Debbie Lane and with Dr. Bonner to implement them. And what we plan to do is much like with Say Hey SGA, go out around campus and address the hot topic issues. Go and share with students the issues of robbery, cyberbullying, hazing, sexual assault, and any hot topic issue on campus and bring it to them. Be proactive, address it, and take these issues to students in environments where they feel comfortable.
Thanks. 1 minute.
Thank you again for asking that question, Dr. Smith. In response to Mr. Keller's response, I will begin by saying that, again, He is talking about working with departments and organizations and not bringing in more students into the fold of SGA. As president, I know firsthand that students need a way to find out how they can access these resources themselves. You cannot have a top-down SGA. You need a bottom-up SGA where you bring in more students and more organizations into the fold of SGA to be participants and not just onlookers of our Student Government Association. Students do not care that if you, for you to come to them and tell them about these issues. It goes in one ear, not the other. As SGA president, I want to find ways in which we can bring more students, more leaders into the fold of SGA so that they can know for themselves exactly what resources they need to create a safer environment across our campus.
Okay, thank you. So now we've finished with the part of the debate where each candidate answers the same question, and now we have an individual question that's been prepared for each candidate. And in our sequence, the first of these individual questions will go to Mr. Keller. Mr. Keller, in your bid for Vice President of Student Affairs last year, you handed out flyers for Students for Experienced Leadership on Election Day. A picture of you handing one of these flyers to a campus visitor named Chris Allen was posted to your campaign's Twitter account. Mr. Allen recorded the conversation in which the two of you were engaged while being photographed, during which you stated that you and the other six candidates whose names appeared on the flyer in question started Students for Experienced Leadership because you were being opposed by a lot of people who didn't have any experience in SGA whatsoever. When Mr. Allen asked you if Students for Experienced Leadership was specifically your group, you responded that it was. In an interview WVUA conducted with you later that same day, you initially denied any connection to Students for Experienced Leadership, claiming that you were not familiar with who had started that group at all, before admitting that you had received donations of flyers from the group and that you had distributed them as part of your campaign. That was later in the same interview. The same contradicting admission was implied when you submitted an amended financial disclosure form which listed the flyers as an in-kind donation to the SGA Elections Board the following day. To date, no explanation has been offered for these discrepancies. Can you offer one now?
Yes. I think that, yes, they were not on my original financial disclosure form because my original financial disclosure form was due the day before Election Day. Election Day is probably the most important part of an election. And so, yes, I submitted an amended financial disclosure form because you have 48 hours to do so. But if you read the election manual this year, it has been changed to where your final financial disclosure form is due the day of. But I think more importantly, that within SGA this year, we've done a great job of rebranding ourselves, like I said. We've gone out on the quad. We've spoken to students. We understand what they want. We understand what they need. And we spent a year building a car, well-oiled and ready to go. And with that same analogy continued, I don't think we need to look in the rearview mirror. We need to look to the future. We need to address the problems that we've put off, and we need to address them now. And we need to get a driver that can drive that car, drive it fast, and drive it in the right direction. And I believe that person's me.
Thank you. Second question is for Mr. Spillers. This is a two-part question. A criticism that has been raised against you repeatedly is that you have no experience holding any SGA elected office. This is now your third bid for elected office. You ran for SGA Senate 2 years ago and for Vice President of Student Affairs last year. In both cases, you failed to secure the necessary amount of popular support. Last year, an entire student-run PAC was created to challenge you, among other candidates, on these very grounds. How do you respond to the criticism regarding your lack of experience, and what do you say to those who believe that you should have taken two losses as a sign that your style of leadership is not fit for this campus?
Well, third time's the charm, though, ain't it? Well, in response to that question, I will say that the first time I ran for my freshman year for Senate, it was a different culture across this campus. That was the same year that every executive position ran uncontested. And it was tough. It was very tough because I had no support. I had no SGA experience at all. But then at the same time, I knew that I did want to find ways. I wanted to make a difference on this campus. That's what it comes down to, is making a difference here on this campus. And the second year, I ran again for Vice President of Student Affairs. And in that way, I garnered so much support. This room was not packed my freshman year in any capacity. It was very empty. You could see crickets across the room, or hear crickets across the room. And in that way, I know that each year I've run, the numbers have gotten bigger, gotten so large. And this year, standing here, running for SGA president, seeing all of you across this campus, not just Greek, but non-Greek and all students, I have proven that as a leader, I have the experience needed to gain relationships with people of all backgrounds and all cultures across this campus. But to my experience, I think it's ironic because I was actually awarded the SGX Outstanding Director of the Year by the SGA. And so in that way, I think that it proves that the SGA trusts me to be a leader for this university. And I trust myself. And I think looking across this room, people that I know and have known for the past 3 years, you all trust me as well. And as SGA president, I plan to continue those relationships and build upon them to create sustainable change on campus.
Okay, thank you. The next part will allow each candidate to ask a question that he has prepared. And so, in keeping with the sequence, we'll have Mr. Keller ask his question of Mr. Spillers first.
Okay,
so go ahead, please.
Of course, I would like to start off with a clarification. Mr. Spillers received the Director of the Year under a current director. It wasn't for all of SGA. It was under the Director of Engagement. And also, my question for you is, you talk a lot, every time I've heard you speak, about how you want to work with FAC. You want to increase the funding. You want to do that. How exactly do you plan to do that? With what organizations on campus, with what administrators that you have pre-established connections with, do you plan to come in day one and increase FAC? Because unless you were aware, we've been working on it for 2 years now. So what do you think that you bring different, or what skills do you have that makes you think specifically that you can increase FAC funding?
Thank you. In response to that question, I will say that I've worked closely with Dr. Hood as well as Dr. Bonner across this campus. I plan to continue my work with administration to find out ways in which we can increase FAC funding. But like Mr. Keller stated, you know, I have not been in Senate, you know, for an entire year, but I do know the SGA process. I know the SGA process is one that requires working with administration as well as students. I plan to work closer with administration to find out ways in which we can increase FAC funding. It's important that as students, we realize that this cannot be done alone. It takes collective effort with the executives as well as all students across campus to find ways in which we can find that balance between administration and students. And it's important that as president, I work alongside administration and students to find ways in which we can increase FAC funding.
Yes, I just want to know, do you know where exactly we get the FAC funding from? Do you know where that comes from?
Currently, right now, I do not. And I can positively say that, and tell you that right now as SGA president, like Mr. Keller had stated, I have not been in SGA in executive capacity for a long time, in any way. But as president, my plan is to work with current executives. Right now, I know Ben Leek is running for financial affairs, and he is a true leader. And I know that working closely with him and having the expertise needed, that's the way that I will find out how all the ins and outs of SGA works. But you need to create ways which you can work with leaders to find out how you can better equip yourselves and all of us to find that balance.
Okay, thank you. Now, Mr. Spillers will ask a question of Mr. Keller.
So, Mr. Keller, what is the number one obstacle to conducting conversations around diversity on campus? Why did the Diversity Caucus get organized without any input from the SGA's Director of Diversity Involvement, Mr. Cornelius and Ben Flores? In fact, neither of them were even contacted to be made aware of the Diversity Caucus. It's crazy how, you know, currently right now you're trying to figure out ways in which we can find the issues of all students and find ways in which we can advocate for them. But as VPSA, you've not done that in 1 year. And with the Diversity Caucus and you planning it before campaign season, it shows that clearly you do not have the expertise needed to know the issues of all students.
Okay, well, I'll be the first one to tell you the Diversity Caucus was underattended, and that's because it was the first of many efforts that the Keller administration, if elected, plans to have. I think that it was great to get people in the room to open up that discussion. Miles Ward and myself put that together, and we thought it was wonderful. And we understand that other organizations on campus do the same thing, but I don't think that it should be a battling or a conflict of interest. Student government should be able to engage students. And I think that the number one obstacle for discussion of diversity is the number one obstacle for discussion of every uncomfortable situation that my campaign addresses. Hazing, cyberbullying, sexual assault, diversity, inclusivity, and things like that come from, like I said, removing the clout of quasi-administrators, engaging students with programs like Say Hey or UX, going out, seeking the students, speaking to them in an environment where they feel comfortable, and developing programs that will help them to succeed, but also acting as an asset. The student government president is not solely based on what the student government can accomplish. He is someone in a position of power who has connections, who has a network, who has a group of administrators that he can speak with on behalf for student organizations so that when they need something done, he works as an avenue for them, doing everything that he possibly could. I don't think that we need to focus solely on one issue. We need to focus on every issue that the student government has failed to address over the last couple years. And in that sense, tomorrow begins today.
Thank you. Thank you.
As I said at the beginning, please hold your applause and cheers until after the debate is concluded. Thank you.
Do you have a follow-up?
I do. Mr. Keller, you are that quasi-administrator. Over the last 3 years, I talked to Miles Ward, even about the Diversity Caucus, and he was the one that said it was thrown together. And so I know also the organizations that you pulled in, BSU, the Muslim Student Alliance, as well as others across this university, to pull in the diversity opinion. And even they told me that it was inauthentic. It was rushed and put together in a manner that was not concise or professional in any manner. And again, you were talking about reforming an SGA that you have worked within for the past year. These issues of sexual assault, of well-being of all students, is something that you should have realized and worked on for the past year, but have failed to do it. As SGA president, and even before SGA president, and being in this role right now, I've worked closely with all organizations across this campus. I harness the leadership abilities needed to create an environment so that everyone has the opportunity to live a life of wellness. It is important that as SGA president, you do not only work with administrators, but as well as student leaders, bringing them into the fold to better balance the SGA and hold us accountable.
This is a follow-up question?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
What was the question?
Yeah, it was a follow-up question is what we needed.
Yes. So I'm going to get into it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So my question then to you, Mr. Keller, is how do you plan on incorporating more students into the SGA and not solely working with the administration?
Yes, I think you've asked me that about 3 times already, and I've addressed it by saying that we have this year already gone out with Say Hey SGA. That was a great program.
That was Paulie Ricketts, not...
That was the executive board.
Let him answer, please.
That was the executive board. I was out there with Paulie on the quad. It was great. We went out and we searched out students. Also, we've worked with the administration on UX, which is basically the same thing, but it goes out with the knowledge and with the experience from educated administrators here on campus and also us as student leaders to discuss these issues with students, actively engage them, and see what they need from us. And I think that it's a foolish assumption that just because one executive officer does some that isn't the action of the whole entire executive branch, much like the Secretary of State acts on behalf of the President of the United States. People don't talk about what Hillary Clinton does because Hillary Clinton did it. It is the Obama administration.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. So for the remainder of the time, we'll be asking questions that have been submitted via social media. And I'm going to, and Jordan is selecting those questions. I'm going to let Jordan, and I guess these questions will either be addressed to an individual candidate or they'll be addressed to both of them. And we'll try to keep the questions even per candidate. Candidates have
2 minutes. Also, to help clarify who you're asking it to, if you would put the initials of the candidate you want to ask a question to, if you want to ask it to a specific question, either SK or ES, that would help us be able to differentiate there. If it's not addressed with initials, then we're just going to take it as a question for both candidates.
All righty. The first question from social media will be to both of you, so you'll each get a chance to answer it. And it is, what do you see as the biggest problem facing students here at UA, and how would you work specifically to alleviate that problem?
So, Elliot, we'll start with Spillers. We'll start this one.
Yeah. So I think the biggest problem right now is apathy. I think we've talked about this many times across this entire debate, and the sole problem is getting students to care. Throughout this entire process, I've gotten students to care over the last 3 years, working with them and solely with them. I've gotten them to care about SGA and the initiatives that they want us to work with them for to implement and create solutions to change.
My turn.
Mr. Keller, absolutely.
I guess that we should start by saying your example of students caring is the support you've gotten on the election trail. I've won two elections already. So I think that I've gotten students to care. I've gotten a great amount of students to care. I've gotten their votes. I've gotten myself in office. But I think that the issue that serves is the fact that students feel like they can't approach student government. That's something that I plan to continue to address by creating long-term structural planning to make sure that the initiatives that we do are sustained. Things like Say Hey SGA continue every single year, and they're improved. So as we actively engage students, we hear what they need, and we do our best to do them. We have programs like Say Hey SGA. We have programs like UX that take us, put us on the quad, and hear what students have to say, and allow us to act as best we can, both for them and with them.
Thank you very much. And actually, both of the answers that you gave fit perfectly into the individual questions that I'm going to ask you, and so I asked Mr. Keller first. And so, Mr. Keller, you've referenced Say Hey SGA a lot here tonight. And what is your tangible reach with this program? I think the question is getting at, what exactly does Say Hey SGA do? Neither I nor anyone knows. That's what the question says.
Okay, I think that's a great question. Say Hey SGA is a project that we started after the SEC exchange, and we heard that a lot of other schools did it. We thought it was a great idea. We spoke with student leaders across the SEC, and we learned from them. And what we did was we took ourselves, like I said, out of the FERG. We put ourselves on this campus. We went out there in casual clothes with forms of what we're doing now, and we asked students, what can we do for you? We showed them what we're doing. We invited them to our initiatives. We spoke with them on a one-on-one basis, and also we asked them, what can we do? And from that, a lot of students brought up the point of away tickets. And I think that that's a major problem. A lot of students here are at the Capstone, and the Capstone's focused on a Finish in Four program. But the way that we give our away football tickets and post-game tickets is based solely on hours. The only school in the SEC that does this. Therefore, the athletic program as a whole, the university as a whole, doesn't buy into the Finish in Four. If you're here with 140, 130, 160 hours because you're here as a fifth or a sixth year senior, you're going to get those tickets. But what I've been able to do, and what I'm hoping will continue with the administration, we're trying to get it finalized right now, is create a system that deals with both your hours, capped at 105, because that's easily a semester ahead going into your senior year, assuming that you graduate with 120 hours, multiplied by your GPA. And that gives you your grade point total. The other half comes from athletic participation, so that if you show athletics, if you show the student body that you care for the Tide, you go to baseball games, you go to basketball games, you attend all the football games, you go to women's volleyball games, wheelchair basketball, you attend these games, you show that you care about the Tide, you receive these tickets because I believe that you deserve to be at those games.
Thank you very much. And now the next individual question will be for you, Mr. Spillers. And this one from social media says, how do you plan to specifically bring more students into the fold with SGA and ensure that all of campus will be represented?
Yes, thank you so much for that question, Jordan. Currently right now, I'm working with NAMI, which is the National Association of Mental Illness. And what we're doing right now is working with housing and fraternity and sorority life to find ways in which we can find to bring them into the fold, this organization that has been at the university for over 6 years now, and bring them and their expertise into the SGA to figure out solutions and create tangible ways in which they can train the SGA on the initiatives and the ideas that we really want to push for. Furthermore, it's working with Women's Resource Center, as well as departments across campus to implement the peer-to-peer advocacy program that will train up RAs, leaders, and FAs all across this campus on how we can better address the issue of sexual assault. It's working with victims, educating them, but also putting them at the forefront of the conversation to ensure that they give us ways which we can tangibly affect change across this campus.
Thank you very much, Elliot. And now the next question will be once again to both of you. And this one says, how will you help create more transparency between the Student Government Association and the student body? So, Elliot, you get to answer first this time.
Yes, thank you so much. So I remember Mr. Keller was talking earlier about how he's working with administration. I talked to Dr. Gorman Houston on that project, and he was the main one that told me that he was surprised that Mr. Keller had not come to his team. his cabinet in the SGA to discuss this issue. I had no idea that what it was. And so I know that there is a level of transparency that he has not implemented within our entire cabinet. I was at an event the other day and found out somebody else was on my cabinet who I did not know before. But I think in response to your question, increasing transparency means bringing in the CW, bringing in members across the SGA who are not within it or have been elected before to hold us accountable for the issues that we are trying to implement across this campus. It's making sure that we have records and we have public knowledge of everything that we're doing for all students. And that goes beyond just the Senate and in looking at what they've been doing. It's more to that. It's creating executive transparency for all of us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Keller.
Okay, well, I think it starts with if you would have come to cabinet meetings, you would have known about it. You attended one the entire year, and we had them every other week. You received minutes from them, and every minute you received listed plans about the athletic proposal. But I think that's besides the point. If we want to increase transparency, I think we do that with opening office hours in the SGA, like I said, allowing students to know when we as executives are going to be there so that they can come in and they can speak with us. They can know who's going to be there, when, and how they can help them. Also, it comes with having lunch in the FERG, you know, using maybe one day a week to go and have lunch in the FERG and speak with students, and opening up the bullpen to allow students to have a home in the FERG where they can come and do their homework or hang out for a little bit in between classes. Also, we need to continue programs like Say Hey, which we've talked about a lot, but it's actively engaging students, and having campus-wide newsletters. And also, if elected, I plan to take my current Facebook page, which has garnered, you know, plenty of likes and hopefully will continue to garner likes, and our current Instagram, and continue to use them as an administration so that, you know, once a week, maybe once every other week, maybe twice a week, if we're doing a lot, we can show the students on social media, on their computer, at their home, what we're doing for them. Very easily accessible, very easily read, and very easily understood so that you can understand what your elected officials are doing for you.
Thank you very much. And now the next question, once again, is for both of you, and I think it's a very interesting question. How do each of you expect to get a personal connection with the student body when it continues to grow at an increasing rate? Mr. Keller, you have the question first this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is very difficult. There's like everyone said already, there's 36,000 students here. It's very difficult to think you could get a personal connection with every student. But I think that through social media, through newsletters, through Ask SGA, which we've implemented on the SGA website, where we allow students to go in and ask questions to specific executives. Those executives get those questions as well as someone in the administration, whether it be Auxiliary Services or Rose Hall. Therefore, we can get a better judge of the student voice. I don't think that it's possible to get a personal connection with 36,000 students, but it's very possible to create avenues to allow students to express to you their concerns so that you can get a better judge campus-wide of what the issues and concerns are of the student body.
Mr. Spillers?
Yes, in response to that question, I think that it begins with actually knowing what spheres of campus there are and connecting with those different spheres. Over my last 3 years at the university, I've connected with all types of candidates and students, for that matter, across this entire university. And I think that my campaign this year has shown that, the support that I've gotten from Greek and independent students alone from all across campus. And yes, you can connect with 36,000 students because I've shown that that is very much so possible. You mentioned that you were elected, Mr. Keller, twice, but that is twice by the exact same sphere of this campus. Each two times I've run and gotten votes has been collective of all spheres of campus. And I know that from experience working within that system, and we're working close alongside leaders within the Honors College, within BSU, Crossroads, SGA for that matter, FYE, first year, all of those, the university programs, I know what students need and how to better find ways to create avenues and an environment where the next person to run for this office does not shy away from thinking about even running because they think that they can't because they're not Greek. I stand here on the backs of this entire university that is Greek, that is non-Greek. And I know that as SGA president, I will continue to uphold all of those voices in the Student Government Association.
Thank you. And now the next question, I'm going to go, pardon? Okay. The next question, I have an individual for you, Elliot. And this one says, going back to the discussion we had on fees and FAC funding earlier, Why can't our already outrageous tuition go towards a new SGA fee for FAC, and why must students be burdened more than they already are?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Why can't our already outrageous tuition go towards an SGA fee for FAC funds? Why must students be burdened more than they already are?
Well, to get the change that we want to see across campus, you have to be able to find ways to fund that. And I think that other universities across our nation have already started taxing on fees for all of our students. And in that way, I think it's important that we get on that bandwagon, that we increase the money that we do receive from FAC and the University of Alabama, who gives us that money.
Thank you very much. Now, the next individual question is for you, Stephen. Mm-hmm. And this tweet says, we keep talking about specific programs and relationships, and you have a plan for our athletic program. This student wants specifics on your plan for athletics.
Yeah, of course. My plan for athletics is to develop a system that's more active, much like every other university in the SEC has. It's not passive. Our current system is passive and based solely on the amount of hours you've accumulated at this university. Just recently did we start to include transfer hours, which seems ridiculous. So my plan plans to incorporate both your academic success, your academic tenure, and your athletic participation. So if you are a student that has been here for 3 years, 4 years, and you have done reasonably well in school, and you have loved the Tide, you have gone to baseball events, basketball events, you show that you really care about this university's athletic program, then this is an avenue for you to put yourself above and beyond where your hours would limit you and allow you to show through your effort and through your care and through your support of the Tide and your effort in the classroom that you deserve to be in those games. And these are away and postseason games.
All right, thank you very much. Now, the next question, once again, is going to be to both of you, and this question is about the issue of mental health, and this person asks, what in particular will the candidates do to help those dealing with mental health issues here on campus? Mr. Keller, you are first this time.
Yes, of course. I think that, you know, like Elliot has knocked me forward this whole debate, that we need to work with pre-existing organizations and pre-existing administrators and to work with them to develop a system that works. And I think that, you know, like he said, you know, he's met with NAMI and they do a lot. I know that I spoke with the head of the AAUW, Brielle Applebaum, and she brought to my attention NAMI and the work that they're doing here. And so I think that using the SGA as an avenue to get that word out, to get that name out, and to show students that that exists is basically what we should be doing. We should be letting students know and making students aware of all of the avenues that exist here on campus for them.
Mr. Spillers?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Keller, for agreeing with me. Right now, what I'm doing is working with NAMI to actually implement ways by fall. There should be a way we can launch this. But hopefully what we'll be doing is we'll be training up RAs, FAs, and Project Health members to train students across this entire campus on bystander awareness, on exactly how we need to, as leaders, know the signs of mental illness. And I will be more than happy to include you on that table, Mr. Keller.
Thank you.
So now the next question, once again, is for both of the candidates. And this tweet says, a lot of the topics today are broad ones that take a lot of time to show change on campus. Are there immediate plans you have, and what do you want to do on day one? Mr. Spillers.
Yes. Well, already right now, like I've said before, I'm working with NAMI to try and create a way in which we can train up RAs and FAs off the houses for mental illness awareness. But as well as that, it's creating an environment for victims of sexual assault through my peer-to-peer advocacy program. In that way, we are going to bring in to the fold victims and create ways in which they can be the head of the conversation and figure out how we can create ways in which all students can have access to the resources available to them for wellness. Right now, our nation, our college campuses are all across our nation right now are focusing on mental illness and sexual assault. And it is sad that the SGA execs have not created a task force or a plan yet to tackle this issue. On day one, even in the fall right now, I'm already planning on launching these trainings for all students across campus.
Thank you very much, Mr. Keller.
Well, I think that, like I previously stated, a majority of this campus is female, and sexual assault is an issue. And I think that nationwide, it's first acknowledged that sexual assault exists and is a major issue within the Greek system. So I've already been working. Plans are already in place. And day one, It will be established that every freshman planning to pledge or rush in the Greek system will go through bystander intervention. They will learn the awareness of sexual assault. They will understand what it is. They will understand the steps to prevent it, and they will have the confidence to do so. And I think that that is both a lasting effect and an immediate effect. These students understand the issue, and then as this continues and it becomes a precedent within our Greek system, that throughout time, and hopefully we can get it in all of Bama Bound for every freshman student. But right now, this is something that I have planned to do day one, and that's attacking the problem where it's strongest. And I feel like if we continue to do this with our freshmen, with our incoming students, then in a matter of years, the lasting effect will be that understanding sexual assault and the ability to intervene and to prevent it will become a core value of what it means to be a member of the Capstone.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. And the next question will once again be for both of you. We just talked a little bit about students just coming to UA. Now let's talk about students that are going to be leaving soon. This next tweet says, how do you plan on enabling students to have the greatest amount of success after graduation? And Mr. Keller will answer this question first.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. The point of college is to prepare yourself for life. And I feel like the best way to do that is to, as an SGA, make students aware of the avenues that already exist for you. The avenues that are here to prepare you for that job interview. The avenues that are here to prepare you for life. Things like budgeting courses. You know, I remember I was talking to Zoe Story, and she said that they had a self-budgeting class to where you could learn and you could go in for a seminar and learn how to budget yourself your first couple years out of college. Also, advocating for the career center in every college. Those career centers are great. I know that I didn't really know about them until this year. And after visiting them, they're a huge amount of help. They have resume reviews. They have mock interviews. They do a lot to get you prepared for life. And also, I feel like we as an SGA need to do a better job of getting the word out about Crimson Closet. We have an availability for students that don't feel like they have, you know, business formal clothes for an interview. They can come in and they can rent from us. They can borrow them for an interview so that they can set themselves up to succeed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Spillers.
Yeah, in response to that question, I think that as a leader, it's important to empower all students that they can have access to the resources needed for this university. There are so many different issues and ideas and programs that the SGA has done that have gone unrealized. And as SGA president, I plan to create more ways in which they can come into the fold and empower them as students to not only come here as for 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years for that matter, but come here and experience this university for what it is. Our university is so divisive right now, and that is the problem that we face and the problem that we will keep facing until I'm elected. As SGA president, I promise you that we will not become divisive, and I will unify this entire university. I was talking to the basketball team today, and I asked them, what is the question, what do you want SGA to solve on this campus? And they strictly said, unity. This campus is so divisive. We are all in our spheres of influence, and we stay there. The SGA has stayed there for the past decade. And it is important that as SGA president, I find avenues and ways to bring all of us together. And as SGA president, I can assure you that in 1 year, there was that question when I asked to the Greek system or organizations across campus of, what is your perception of the SGA? It will not be crickets. The answer will be unification, integral, leaders. This is what the SGA that I have signed up for represents to me. As SGA president, I want to uphold that for all of us as students here at the University of Alabama, so that we don't come here for just 5 years or 4 years to get an education, but we come here and we continue to sing the song of the Crimson Tide. Roll Tide.
So now, sticking with you, Mr. Spillers, we have an individual question. And how do you plan on being the president of an organization in which you have very little experience?
Yes, thank you. I'm so glad you asked that question. In response to it, I will say that Mr. Keller mentioned earlier that the award that I received from Sidney Page was very limited. But then again, contradicted himself when he said that as secretary, you know, you are working for President Obama, and that just one leader it speaks for the entire organization. Sidney Page giving me that award for outstanding director proved that I have the relationships needed and the skill set acquired to work with organizations across this university. I may not know the ins and outs of this university, but I do know how to work with individuals and people. I believe in the leaders at the SGA right now is running up to be in office with me. And I can assure you that I can work closely with them to find out exactly what is needed and what issues and programs and routes I need to know to better equip myself as a leader to know the ins and outs. I was talking to Matt Calderon, and he mentioned to me that he had limited experience as well as SGA president. And so I think that experience is something that you can grow into. It's not something that you have to have before you come into office. I think that as a leader, it's our responsibility to take risk in this life. And if you do not take risk, then you are not a leader at all. I'm willing to take this risk, and I'm willing to work with current leaders to find out the ins and outs of this SGA.
Thank you very much. And now, almost the exact opposite, Mr. Keller, I have a question for you. And somebody tweeted at us saying, you've talked a lot about tonight about experience. Is experience all you have to offer?
No. First off, I want to start off by saying that my correction to Mr. Spillers earlier was the fact that he misled the audience. It wasn't the fact that as getting the most outstanding director under Sidney Page was not a great accomplishment, because it was, but it was because that he presented it to you as though he was the most impressive director in the whole entire student government organization. That was simply all I was trying to say. But what I also want to say is I don't only offer experience. I offer a vision. I've spent this year on student government. We have done a whole lot to rebrand ourselves. The Bloom administration has done a lot to show this campus that we're willing to work. We've had SGA. We've had Say Hey SGA. We're starting to implement Ask SGA. We're doing programs that take us out of the Ferg and onto the campus. You know, put us outside the Ferg, put us outside on the quad, outside academic buildings, and showing students that we're ready to listen. And so for that reason, I think that we've built a car and we've set it in the right direction. We're poised for change. We're poised to become the student government that I think we should be. But that this year, like any program ever, we needed a rebuilding year. We needed to prepare ourselves for the future, and that's what we've done. And that's something I'm proud to say. And I'm proud to say that if elected, I can promise you that I won't need some sort of transition period to understand where we get our money from. Literally the biggest part of student government, where we're funded, how we're funded, which administrators grant us that money. I understand that. I've been here. I've spoken with those administrators. So I'm ready to day one, hop in that car and drive it. I won't need to walk in and say, wait, how did I get this computer? How did I get this phone? Where did this money come from? Basically, the most important part of an organization. How are we funded?
Thank you, Mr. Keller. And now I have a question for both of you, and it is, how are you addressing the issue of hunger and impoverished students on campus? And I believe it's Mr. Spillers that gets to answer this question first.
Yes. I'm so glad you asked that question. Currently right now, I work within the Center for Sustainable Service and Volunteerism. And in that capacity, what we are working on is hunger in our state, in our city, as well as on campus. And we have just incorporated a campus kitchen program that will solve that issue. I think Chisholm Allen Lundy, he was the chief of that program, and right now we are working on that initiative. And I think that as SGA president, it's working with the CSSV and members across our university to find ways in which we can better address this issue across campus. Experience is something that I may not have in the SGA, but I have it across this entire university. And clearly experience is something that is not needed in the SGA, because they've done nothing of the sort to advocate for all students across this university.
Thank you. Mr. Keller?
Yes, I think that we already have a program. It's called Meaningful Meals. It allows students to donate a meal off their at card swipe for hungry students here on campus. Now, I understand that it only exists within holiday seasons, but we're working to expand that program. We're working to work. I know that Jonathan Hess, who's running for Vice President of Southern Affairs, he's built a program that I support, to donate that excess food from Lakeside Dining, from Greek organizations, from Fresh Foods, to take that food and to tangibly donate it to students that are hungry, to find avenues, to find availability for those who need to be able to have it. And I think that that comes with establishing a pre-existing plan that I'm not sure if my opponent even knew existed.
Thank you. And now the next question is for both of you. So, Mr. Keller, you will get a shot to answer this one first. And what will you do to support women as leaders across campus?
Of course. I think that women represent a majority of this campus. Their need to lead is very, very, very important. And with that, I think that that comes with presenting them the opportunity, allowing them to come in the office and to work and to develop systems and to take part. I know I met with Zoe Story about the bystander intervention, to increase things that they're doing here on campus, to do my best, like I said, as student government president, to be an asset to them, to allow them to come to me, not only care about what student government's doing, but work for them to accomplish what they want to accomplish, working with organizations like the Feminist Caucus, like the AAUW, like Women and Gender Resource Center, and doing everything I can as student government president this year to further their goals, not my own, but those individual organizations.
Thank you very much, Mr. Spillers. Your turn.
Yes. As SGA president, I plan to work with, not for women across this university, because as a male, I can't advocate. I cannot know what women need on this campus, but if I can create an environment to have them as leaders leading the SGA, then I can better work with them and not for them. Today I was at Chi Omega, which is an amazing sorority with some amazing women in it. And in that environment, I saw doctors, lawyers, and the future SGA president in that room. And it is my responsibility to find and create ways in creating an environment that cultivates inclusiveness. Inclusiveness that is not in the SGA right now. Currently, right now, there are only two women representative of the SGA in an executive capacity. As SGA president, I hope to find ways which we can further create positions for them as execs in the SGA and appoint them to advocate for women across this university.
I'd like to state, but we actually have more than two on the executive. Our senior advisor is a woman, our secretary, our vice president for academic affairs.
Of elected positions.
All right. Getting back to the questions from social media, another one for both of you says, students currently have an issue with transportation to and from campus. What is SGA going to do to tackle this issue? Mr. Spillers, you have the floor.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Sure. One more time. Students currently have an issue with transportation to and from campus. What is SGA going to do to tackle this issue?
Yes, today I talked to Mr. Clayton, who's over transportation services, and his response to that was not to increase the routes in any way, because they try that and it's ineffective for their organization, for the department, but rather to expand the hours of operation that they go between. Currently, right now, the problem with the transportation services, if you have all noticed, is that they run too close together. But if we expand the buses and have more time between them, it'll create a more efficient way for us to ride the bus and better get to where we need to go.
Thank you very much, Mr. Keller.
I think getting to campus is very, very important. I think that we address that with 348 Ride. We increase the funding, we speak with UAPD, and we try and make it a more efficient system. But also, more importantly, when I spoke with Brielle Applebaum, which was a previous chief implementation officer, she discussed a bike share program that would put basically like an ACT card scanned bike on a lock, numbers, let's call it 1 through 14, and those bike racks would be all over campus. So you could park in a commuter lot, because there's plenty of places to park in the commuter lot off campus. You swipe your ACT card, you get the bike, and you can ride into campus. And in front of every building is a pre-established bike rack that'll lock your bike there, and only you can unlock it with your ACT card. This is a system that she seems very confident that we can bring in, and that from speaking with her and from speaking with the company that does it, I feel like it's a possibility. So while buses are great, buses run on their own time schedule. They're abstract. They run their cycles, but if you need to get to campus when you need to get to campus, I feel like a bike share program would be a great opportunity, so that you could park at a commuter lot, you could know there was a bike there, and you could ride that bike to where you needed to go, and then at the same sense, do the same thing coming home, regardless of the hours of operation.
Thank you very much, and the next question will once again be to both of you. So Mr. Keller, you will get a shot first this time, and this tweet says that race relations have been in the news lately. What will you do as SGA president to improve race relations here at UA?
Yes, I think that, you know, they are, and this is a very important question. It's very pertinent to the voters. Race relations is important. I'm not going to sit here and act like I have an end-all, be-all answer, but I think that the way that comes is by promoting conversation. This diversity caucus that we had this semester was a great thing. I mean, I know it was underattended. I know it wasn't necessarily a hit, but it's a start. It showed the student body that we're willing to move in that direction. We're willing to address those issues, and we plan to. So once you get the conversation started, once you empower students to present their concerns, their issues, that you can then take them, develop them, and create tangible changes with them to find a way to alleviate the issue, to work to better student life for all students here on campus.
Thank you very much, Mr. Spillers.
Yes, I believe the question was how SGA tends to address race relations across this campus. In response to that, there are organizations across this campus that are already dialoguing and talking about the issue of diversity. Diversity right now is being solved through sustained dialogue, through 13 different organizations within the source that hit on race relations. Blend is one of them, as well as SODEL. What the SGA needs to do is incorporate more inclusiveness within it. And with that is representation of minority students, of women, of the different spheres and ethnicities across this campus that make us so unique. As SGA president, I hope to find ways in which I can appoint and bring in more minority students into the fold of SGA to become participants, and we can create action, tangible resources and points that get to the heart of this race relation issue.
Thank you very much. The next question, once again, to both of you. Political participation at UA has been low. If there was one thing you wanted to tell people to convince them to vote tomorrow, what would it be? Elliot, you're first.
I think with me, to answer that question, I could say that I want to convince students to do your research and select the correct candidate for this position. I think that so often many students feel like they're forced to vote for a candidate. And if I can say anything to this entire room tonight, it's to vote. Just get out and vote for your SGA candidate that you would like to appoint as your president.
Mr. Keller?
Yeah, I think first and foremost that it comes from campaign season. I think that both candidates up here have done an amazing job to create a very active and engaging campaign. I know that both of our social media presence has been truly astonishing to me. I've never seen anything like it on this campus from any candidate. We've done a great job of doing the best that we can to present ourselves to students, to present our platform. I've worked to present specific plans, specific initiatives, what, hows, and when, so that every student that visits our Facebook page can become completely knowledgeable on what we plan to do. Not a broad idea, but specifics. Day one, who we plan to speak with, when we plan to speak with them by, who we plan to include in those meetings, and what the end goal of those opportunities are. And I think that basically we just need to encourage every student to understand that their vote matters. Come out and vote. Vote even if you're not going to vote for me. I encourage you to vote for me. I think you should vote for me. But I think more importantly that you should come out and you should vote and you should exercise that civil liberty. And you should take your student government into your own hands and show us who you think is better so that we can continue to act as your student government president and act in your favor, act in your interest, act with you and for you for the coming year.
Thank you very much. Now, this next question is going to be very difficult. And it says, in one sentence, can you sum up what winning this election would mean to campus? Mr. Keller, you first.
Yes, I can. I'm an out-of-state student. So when I leave, I may not stay in the state of Alabama. When I meet with my future employers, I have to tell them that I left a mark. My plan is to, when I'm done in office, to be able to say that nothing even close to what I was able to accomplish has ever been accomplished within the last 10 years. I plan to leave here, and when I leave, I plan to leave a mark.
Mr. Spillers?
In one sentence.
One sentence.
Okay, let's try this. So me being elected as SGA president, comma, would signify an SGA for all and not just for some.
So moving on to the next question to both candidates. The issue of using the Script A and funding for club teams, is that going to be addressed? Mr. Spillers.
Yes. I've actually worked with club sports teams for the past few months to try and bring back that A for all of them to utilize. As SGA president, I think that you should be an advocate for all students, and I've proven that by giving them that A to have on their uniform signifies that I have already done the job needed to advocate for their right to have that A. And I continue to make sure they have the right equipment and tools necessary to be successful here on campus.
Mr. Keller?
Yes, I plan to address that completely. I think that, one, we need to deal with the aspect of reality. The administration does not seem to want to allow club sports to use the Script A. I think it's certainly not fair, but it's certainly not right for us to stand up here and promise things we can't do. But what I do promise to do is work with club sports to develop a logo that they can all use, that they can all feel proud of, that they can all feel great wearing, so that everyone in this room would understand that that logo signifies our club sports. That logo will be understood and respected by every student here on campus so that they feel like they have a logo they can be proud of, because the administration's not going to let them use the script day. I don't want to sit up here and promise, like my opponent has, things that are physically impossible, much like the student activity fee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Keller. Now, another question to both candidates. How will you prevent an all-too-common problem on our campus, driving under the influence? Mr. Keller, you're first.
I go first. I think that we address that by working with our current systems that are in place, Yellow Taxi, with the Tuscaloosa Trolley, see if we can increase its hours of operations, and also with 348 Get a Ride Home. And that system, if we can work with it and fund it through the SGA, would allow students an opportunity to find a ride home. Tuscaloosa Trolley, with increased hours of operations, would allow students to find a ride home from downtown. And 348 Ride, with increased fundings, will allow students the confidence and the ability to expect a ride home within campus in an efficient time.
Mr. Spillers?
Yes. 348 Ride already goes downtown. I talked to Clayton today again, and he told me that the issue with transportation services across our campus, especially in regard to DUI, is the fact that there are so many routes and so many avenues that they offer, but we don't know about them. The SGA needs to work closer with transportation services to find out how we can better create transparency and getting those ideas and those programs out to all students across this campus. 348 Ride, all they need is to just know where students are, and they can pick you up at the drop of a hat.
Thank you very much. Now, the next question is about parking. How do you, both of you, plan to use the SGA to get better parking access for students? Mr. Spillers, you're first.
Parking right now on our campus is honestly a non-issue. I've talked to Dr. Hood, and he is actually interim vice president of student affairs. And I asked him that same question about what can we do for parking on this campus. And he said that, honestly, there's nothing that we can do. Our university right now has done so much, and compared to other universities across our nation, we are ahead of the pack on that issue. And so right now, it's working closer with Zipcar to find out ways we can create environmental friendly ways that we can create more transportation and more parking services across our campus. But in regard to parking, I'm sorry, but our university right now has done a lot for it, and there's nothing that we can really do to that effect. And to create ways in which that we can try and alleviate the cost of parking, he'll lose his job if he does that. That's not something that we can do.
Thank you very much. Mr. Keller, your turn.
I think I'd like to start off by saying that, of course, the administration would say parking's not an issue. I know that from this past year, working with auxiliary services, the idea of a strike system with parking tickets or alleviating parking tickets is not possible. But one thing we can do to address the issue at hand, the elephant in the room, that is parking tickets, because I know no one likes to go back out to your car and get a parking ticket, especially when you were at work or you were volunteering. You're a student tutor and you were at Tutwiler tutoring someone in math, but your pass doesn't allow you to park there. That just isn't right. So the Keller administration plans to develop alternative parking passes so that if you work within an office in this university, whether it be the Career Center, whether it be the Community Service Center, whether you're a student tutor, that organization could issue you a pass for specific times. Like, for instance, if I were to tutor in Tut Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 1 to 3, I would have a pass that allows me to be there so that I can fulfill the actions that I'm supposed to fulfill without being nervous about getting parking tickets. Now, that's just a small change and a small help in the life of students, but it's something that we can do, and it's something that I do not believe would cause Dr. Hood to lose his job.
Thank you very much, Mr. Keller. This question is going to be for both of you, but you get to answer this one first. Why do you personally believe that political participation is low? And why do you think that each student doesn't feel like their vote matters? And this will be the last question, Mr. Keller.
Of course, great question. I think that political participation is low because campaigns have been inactive. In the past, social media presence from campaigns has been next to nothing. And this year, it's been the exact opposite. I know that both of us are posting photos, we're posting initiatives, we're posting videos, we're posting plans every day. We're showing students everything we're doing on the campaign trail. We're making them promises, and we're actively engaging them in the process. I can tell you right now that as I sit there and I watch that, on Facebook they have a tab that gives you like the total reach, it grows by the thousands every day. It's so, so, so impressive. And I think that that starts, and that's a burden of the candidates. And I think that as my opponent and I have both done, we've raised the level of what it takes to run a campaign here on campus, and I hope that that will continue and continue and continue over the years until eventually that every student here on campus sees both candidates, everything they put out there. It's encouraging them, and it's making them aware of the election.
Thank you very much. Mr. Spiller, it's your turn.
Thank you. I think in response to that question, I can begin by saying that both of our campaigns are very much so different. Where Mr. Keller has only one set sphere of campus on his Facebook page and Instagram, I have all spheres of campus advocating for my name. This is something that I cannot do alone, and it proves that I have gotten people from all walks of life on this campus behind me, supporting me in my endeavors as SGA president. They solely believe in my abilities as a leader and as an individual to uphold their voices as students. I think that they're apathetic voters right now. The issue is that they don't care about the SGA. The SGA right now does not represent their needs as students, and they don't even know about the policies or examples or programs that the SGA offers, because they do not care about the SGA, because it's not representative of them as students. As president, I can promise you that each and every one of your voice will be heard by me and my executive cabinet, and that through this process, all of you will have the opportunity to create the UA for today. So tomorrow, go out and spill the vote.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next...
Please hold your applause.
The final segment will be closing statements. 2 minutes for closing statements for each candidate. Mr. Spillers, you can give your closing statement first.
Yes. I want to begin by again thanking all of you all, for all of you coming out tonight to be here and witness this occasion. For 3 years, I've been here at the university, and I've heard execs come and give these elaborate spiels of how they plan to revolutionize the SGA and find programs that create meaningful and sustainable change in our system of government. But for 3 years, I think you all can vouch for me that if they've gone unrealized, that these grand organizations, these grand ideas have no weight within them. As SGA president, I can promise you that your voices will be heard. I can't explain that enough. But I can promise you as well that I will bring legitimacy back into the SGA. A vote for me is a vote for this campus and creating sustainable change. So go tomorrow, and again, please spill the vote.
Thank you. Mr. Keller.
Thank you very much. I would like to start off by thanking each and every one of you for coming out today. It really shows me something as a candidate that this many students are going to come here and become knowledgeable on our platforms, because that's very important. I want to thank my campaign staff for everything they've done to me up until this point. I know that I've spent hours prepping for this, and I was beyond nervous, and I can honestly look back on this and say this was a great experience. I want to thank UAP for giving me the opportunity to share my platform with the students. And I want to say that my platform is based on tangible plans, physical actions, what's, how's, and when's that all of you can read. I plan to take the student body and to make promises and to keep them and to give you promises that aren't abstract. They're not 3,000-foot views. They're specific actions that I want to take. And I think that in order to begin that process, I first have to acknowledge that I don't understand all of the issues coming and facing this campus. I don't. But I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to actively engage student organizations and do the best that I can. I'm ready to take myself out of the FERG, to remove the appearance of a quasi-administrator, and to approach students as what I am. I'm a student, just like you. And we're no longer going to take these issues that aren't brought to us and not deal with them. It's not as though you have to come to us for us to deal with your issue, because we're going to come to you. Everything that has been put off until that tomorrow that I've discussed about all day, that metaphorical tomorrow, that tomorrow that has never come, under the Keller administration, tomorrow begins today. I'm running this campaign for the students to be your student government president, to be an asset that you feel comfortable using and you feel comfortable approaching, because I am an approachable person, and I'm ready to listen, and I'm ready to work, and I'm ready to act. So I hope that all of you tomorrow morning wake up, look back on this debate, and realize that I'm not only the person ready, poised, and prepared to be your SGA president, but I'm the most qualified, and I'm the one ready to work for you the hardest. So remember, everything's better with Keller.
Okay, thank you.
Let's give both candidates another round of applause, shall we? On behalf of the United Alabama Project, I would like to thank everybody for coming tonight. I want to remind you all to vote tomorrow and wish you all a safe ride home. We're going to take a straw poll via Twitter. If you think Stevie won, put it on Twitter. If you think Elliot won, put it on Twitter, at United Alproj, and we'll try to get results out about that tomorrow. Y'all have a good night.